Okay, this is the September 27th meeting of the Audit Committee. Present at this time is Matt Brower, the city manager, Councilman John Priester, Councilwoman Susie Heimbuckle, and Councilman Kent Gwynn. And I will turn it over to Mr. Brower.
Thank you very much. As you know, the Audit Committee meets quarterly, and what we'll do today is meet for the last quarter of the current fiscal year. And what I'm going to do is turn the time over to our Chief Financial Officer, John Legge, and his team to take us through the meeting.
Thanks, Matt. As we said, this is the quarterly meeting of the Audit Committee. The focus today will be to look at the findings from the fiscal year 2010 audit and give the committee a roadmap of what we're doing to address those issues. If you will recall back, our last meeting was on June 21st of this year. At that time, Mr. Mark White from Purvis and Gray presented the fiscal year 2010 audit to the Audit Committee. And during that meeting, he talked about the findings, and he talked about the progress that was made over the last couple of years. If you'll recall, the fiscal year 2009 audit was completed on September the 14th of 2010. 2 weeks later, we started to close out fiscal year 2010. So what Mark reported to you at that June 21st meeting is a lot of the things that were happening in 2009 were carried forward into 2010. But also at that time, he reported to you that there's been a lot of progress in getting things in order for fiscal year 2011, and he anticipates that some of those findings will be reduced in 2011. So I'd like to take you through that process. Mark also indicated there are really two documents in the fiscal year 2010 audit that were of great importance. One is the schedule of findings and question costs. These are actually the written comments from the auditors. These are things that they find have brought to a high level that needed to be reported in the audit report itself. He also pointed to a management letter. These are things that they observed during their audit that are not necessarily to the level of findings to be reported. Those are things that the auditors feel they need to bring to the attention of management so that management can address these issues. So we'll go through both of those, both of the findings in the schedule and also in the management letter comments to let you know what we've done to address some of those issues. The schedule of findings and question costs, really there was one big overwhelming issue that they had. There was a lot of subsets that we'll go through that made up this one finding, but you know, basically the overall issue was that the city does not have a well-documented functioning monthly year-end closing process. So there's a lot of bank reconciliations and monthly closeouts that play into that. But that's the overwhelming umbrella issue that we had, and we'll go through and show how we addressed each one of the subsets.
And we're up to date on that now, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I'll walk through. As I go through this, I'm going to kind of keep it at a higher level just to tell you what we've done. If you have any questions on the details of how we got to addressing that issue, please ask questions and we'll address that.
And I just want to, even before you start on this slide, and Ken, you can appreciate that last sentence on there. Please. Bank account reconciliations completed the first week after month end. You know that amount of work to get to that spot?
Oh, years, literally.
I mean, sorry to interrupt. Part of that old, walking to school uphill in snow 5 miles, you know, both ways. So keep going.
The first issue we're going to talk about, basically, Mark reported to you in June when he was here that as of April, we had processes in place to do monthly closeouts. And beginning in June of this year, we actually started to close out what we would call a hard close for the prior month. And a hard close means that all the adjustments and all the journal entries that were attributed to that month were done in that month. As you might recall from years past, we may wait a year and go back and do our bank reconciliations and post our different adjustments and journal entries to each month. And those are being accomplished by the 15th of the month right now, after the end of the month. Bank reconciliations, as you recall, I believe about a year ago, we may have been as far as much as a year behind. Those bank reconciliations are being done now within the first week after the month. We've worked with SunTrust in that process because they're our bank. We've worked with them, and we've come up with reports and different things that they've helped us out. So we are now
in 2009, we had not yet closed out 2007. A little bit before you got here, so just keep going, doing good stuff.
One of the things that the, was one of the comments that the auditors made is that the, they were concerned about the staffing and the training in the budget and finance department. And in their 2009 report, they made the recommendation that the city was missing an element. So at that point in time, we went out and hired a controller, Ms. Mary Ann Davis, who's sitting next to me. She came, started with the city in November of 2010. And Mary Ann oversees all of the finance, the treasury, the payroll, the accounts payable. And she's been instrumental in trying to getting to us to the closeout process and the bank reconciliation process. One of the things that Mary Ann did when she came here, the auditors were concerned that we only had a couple key individuals that really knew what to do, knew how to close out, and that all the workload was basically put on them. What Mary Ann's done since she's been here is we've redistributed a lot of that work. We looked at where our talent was, and we've trained the people to basically take that process and distribute it amongst all of the team and not just some key individuals. We had a lot of funds over the last couple of years. We've closed a lot of funds. The auditors were also concerned that some of our internal service funds and some of the decisions that were made to close the adult complex, the trailer park, some of our internal service funds. We'll continue to look at that on a daily basis and see what we can close. We're also looking at our account structure. As you know, during the budget process this year, Ms. Kelly indicated that we would be going to the state charter accounts for fiscal year 2012. That's a major process. We've been working with our software with Eden, and I think that process is right on track. And as we turn over fiscal year 2012, we will implement that new state charter accounts. Eden was implemented in 2007, and I've been involved in a couple implementation processes, and they can be quite complex when you're going from one kind of system to the other. I think at that same time, there was a lot of turnover upstairs in budget yep. and finance. The system that when it was implemented, we had a lot of processes in place that had been going for many, many years. And I think our accounting system, when it was implemented, we tried to mirror some of those business practices. We tried to say, this is our process, let's make our accounting system work that process. What we've done over the last year with a lot of training is we went back and developed what we considered the best business practices. And we've taken our accounting software and mirrored those best business practices. That's reduced the complication and some of the, and we're not as prone to errors as we were in the past. So we're looking at good business practices in our accounting software to actually mirror those best business practices. One of the areas we still have a lot of work to do on is capital assets. Capital assets are our buildings, our vehicles, our equipment. The system when it was set up, Eden was set up, again, to mirror old business practices. That's an ongoing process. I am happy to report, though, that we are reconciling periodically now. Typically in the past, what we do is wait till year end, and we will go back and try to reconcile all of our capital assets. We, even though we do have some issues and we're still working through those with Eden, we're able to actually run depreciation on a monthly basis and reconcile those capital assets on a monthly basis. A lot of work to do there still, but I think we've made some significant progress in that area. One of the inventory process, when we finished up last year, we went through an inventory process. As I said, we finished up in 2010 with our 2009 audit. We went ahead last year and did our inventory of electric and fleet facilities. Our inventory process, we used the same processes that we had used in the last couple of years. We were not reconciling our inventories to our records, to the accounting records. Working with, this is a good internal audit story. We've worked with internal audit this year. We've worked with electric. We've worked with all the different entities, and we brought them to the table. We've developed an inventory process that we think works. We think that it's great. We've actually, Jeannie will be going through this year, looking at that process and making recommendations to make that process a little bit better for years to come. But we will be reconciling the physical accounts that we take to our accounting records, and that will give us an idea of whether our processes for inventory, for issuing material, for receiving material back, we'll be looking at those processes to make sure that they're right, and we'll make recommendations to change that and make that better. Our 941s are basically our employee quarterly federal tax returns. The auditors look at this every time they come. We submit those reports quarterly, and there's a reconciliation process between our 941s and our general ledger. We used to do that on a yearly basis. Now we can report that those are being done on a quarterly basis, which will reduce the complexity of that report and that reconciliation. Generally, everybody heard of GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. General Accepted Accounting Principles require that you record transactions, for example, goods and services, in the month that they are received for government purposes. So we had some issues with some cutoff procedures. During the year, for example, if you receive some widgets on January the 15th and the invoice doesn't come in until February the 10th, we pay that, we post it on February 10th, and we move on. But at year end, it's important because we might receive goods and services at the end of September that we don't receive the invoice until October. Well, we need to make sure that we have a system in place to be able to identify when those goods and services were received. And so what we've done is we worked through the Finance Council, and all the departments are now going to have a stamp, a received by stamp. So as we get towards the end of the fiscal year, they're going to actually stamp on the invoice of the date those goods and services were received. When the AP department gets that, they'll be able to double check to make sure those expenditures are being recorded in the right fiscal year. So we think we can.
I was just going to say real quick, about 3 years ago, GAAP was simply a given year and the amount of time it took to actually close that year out. So I'm very familiar with GAAP. Mr. Gwynn?
Now you're saying expenses that we incur on, let's say, September, we have to note that they were in September, and now do we pay for them in that year?
They come out of the
September
budget year.
Gotcha.
Yes, okay. And that's the idea. We weren't able to identify. We would get an invoice that would come in, and we'd have to track back when it was the goods and services.
If we get the invoice in October, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's the date the goods and services were received. So that's why when we get the invoice now, we'll stamp that invoice, or the department will stamp that invoice with the date that they've received the goods or services,
right,
and we'll know what fiscal year it needs to be recorded.
Okay.
A couple other reconciliations as we go through on our balance sheet. We look at, make sure that our subsidiary ledgers to our balance sheet, our accounts receivable, our accounts payable, all have balance sheet amounts and balance sheet totals. They all have an underlying subsidiary ledger, and what we're doing on a constant basis is making sure that the subsidiary ledgers mirror what's in the general ledger. If they don't, we go through the reconciliation process to look at that. There's still a couple accounts we're working on, but with that process, and now that we have time to look at the balance sheet, we'll be going through every balance sheet account to make sure that there's substantiating under the subsidiary ledger or behind the scenes backup documentation to substantiate those totals. That will end the schedule of what I've talked about as the written findings. We'll now move into the management letter comments. As I said, these are comments that the auditors reviewed. They were able to get out a little bit this last audit process and look at some of the other departments, and they've made some recommendations here or identified some things we need to kind of take a look at and keep in mind, because if not, if we don't pay attention to that, they could rise to the level of maybe a written finding down the road. First one is the pension plan, the financial condition of the pension plan. And I believe we've addressed this because City Council has authorized a pension actuarial study. I will tell you at this point in time right now, the GRS, which is the company that's doing the study, has got the data from Foster and Foster for the general pension. They've put that information into their data, and they're starting to run models. They have to mirror the data of Foster and Foster, which is the general employees actuary. They're at that process now, so I anticipate over the next month or so, they'll start to run some scenarios, which will give us some idea of the sustainability and the future cost of some of those pensions.
And we're doing, Mr. President, we're doing that for all three plans, correct?
Yes, sir, we are.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Good.
I have a question, Mr. President. In the CAFR, in their letter, it says that they're recommending that the independent reviewer also looks at the actuarial assumptions. Is that what you're just telling me?
Yes, ma'am. That's what they're doing?
They'll
look at those assumptions. They'll make a
based on them. Yeah, because I guess we got a letter from the state or something regarding that.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And they're looking at that?
Yeah, they'll take a look at the assumptions. They'll give us an opinion on whether those assumptions are reasonable. Then they'll make recommendations on maybe how to lower the cost if the costs are not sustainable over the next 5, 10, 20 years.
Okay.
Crystal River 3 nuclear decommissioning. The NRC requires that owners set aside money for decommissioning costs. And I think Larry's reported this to you just recently that there's a decision made to continue with the repairs for CR3. Currently, we have about $9.2 million set aside for those decommissioning costs. What we'll do is we'll continue to monitor this. I know the CR3 has asked for a 20-year increase in the license, so that has not been approved. What I understand now, that has not been approved. If that does get approved, the liability may change in the future, but we'll continue to monitor that and make any changes to that liability for those decommissioning costs over the years. We're going through an upgrade. We're going to Cogsdale for utility billing. IT, finance, and electric have had a work group over the last year looking at that implementation. I believe we're getting ready to go live with that very soon, but I can assure you that there's been a lot of talk on the implementation of that program, and finance has been involved in that. That's a big system, a big change, collects about $240 million through that process, so it's something that we have to get right, and I think we've done a lot of work to get that, to make sure that goes smoothly.
How will that affect the finance side of
We get an import from that system as we do now. So
okay.
There will be an import that comes out of the Cogsdale system that will be imported into the financial application, and the revenues will be posted in the right spot.
Okay.
Again, using the GAAP word, GAAP requires that inventory be carried at the lower of cost or market. What we'll be doing this year as we go through the inventory process, we'll be looking at inventory that may be obsolete, inventory that's no longer used, and if we discover that, then we actually have to write that inventory down on our financial statements. So we'll be going through that process as we do inventory. We'll be asking the departments if there's any inventory they no longer use that they have to set aside, and it's actually the market value has decreased on the cost, and we'll write those off as we see fit. The city has a capitalization policy. We capitalize infrastructure over $25,000. Everything else we capitalize over $5,000. During the budget process this year, we worked with the fiscal managers and the departments to identify any of the projects or any of their purchases that will meet that capitalization threshold, and we've made sure that we budgeted those in the right object codes and the right accounts. So I think we've made some big steps in the budget process to look at that up front, as opposed to a department buying something, posting it to a different account that would not be capitalized, and us having to go through and find those and make adjustments. So we're going to do that through the 2012 budget process. The external auditors did get a chance to get out to the airport, and they discovered at the airport that our billing process at the airport was a manual process. We kept everything on a spreadsheet. We billed with invoices from the airport. Finance has worked with the airport and through the IT department, and we're going to be billing those through Eaton through our current accounting software. That way, we'll have a good record. Because we would actually have to manually input all the invoices and everything from the airport. We'll be doing that automated, and we have started that about 2 months ago now. The airport found that leases have not been renewed, properly documented and signed by all parties. If you recall, at our last meeting, the council approved a airport lease policy. We think that will address some of the issues at the airport. In addition to that, the city's hired a contract administrator who will look at all the leases, and she's setting up a centralized database for all contracts and leases. And in that centralized database, you can actually put in notifications of reminders for performance. If financial statements have to be provided by the leasee or whatever, you will be able to set up notifications in there to notify the appropriate individual that company A needs to provide financial statements by a certain date. So we'll start to track a lot of that, automate that process, and it won't be such a
And then will that go through before contractors are paid? That will, she'll be sort of a final base before, like to say a certain amount of completion or whatever, that has to be tracked in that system before that contractor is paid? Does that make, am I asking a question that makes sense?
I was talking on the lease side, but yes. On the payable side.
Right.
There will be controls in there to keep us from paying a vendor more than what their contract is.
Right, and so that contract manager will be sort of the final check before the check goes out.
Right.
Is that right? Is that correct?
To post an invoice against a contract if it's going to run over the contract.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Couple of risk management issues. We're self-insured at the city. That means that all the employees during the payroll process, for example, health insurance and those types of things, are paid over into the self-insurance fund. With the implementation of Bentec by the risk management, that's going to ease that reconciliation process so that we're assured that we're properly funding our self-insurance fund. So that will aid in that reconciliation process through the implementation of Bentec. The employee records auditors commented, and this was an internal audit report, and the external auditors agreed to the report, said that a lot of the information, the employee records were not fully, they were missing data. Through the position budgeting this year, we tried to catch a lot of that, and that'll be a continuous process as we go through position budgeting to make sure the employee records are all up to date. In a April 12th internal audit report, they recommended that the city needs to review and update its PCAR policy and procedures. At the August 16th meeting, council adopted the new PCAR policy.
Are those, there were two things kind of down at the bottom. We recommend that copies of the monthly reconciliations be sent to the finance department. Is that happening now?
That is happening. That's in the new PCAR policy.
Okay. All right. And then those are getting reviewed quarterly.
Basically, the monthly statements and all the backup documentation, the invoices, were all kept when we decentralized purchasing. They
right.
all were kept in the individual departments. We're going to have those come back to finance on a monthly basis so that there's another check that we can go through to make sure that the PCAR program is being
done. And do those go through any sort of like just like a department head sort of audits through those things
yes,
to
ma'am.
Make
we
sure
have,
that they're
what we call ESP, which is our spending platform through SunTrust.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an approval process as it goes through. The individual cardholder codes his invoice and it goes through the department head for approval.
Okay.
Capital asset inventory. As we talked about capital assets, we talked about buildings and we talked about vehicles. It appears that there has not been a capital asset inventory done in quite a few number of years. Our vision is to do a capital asset inventory of all assets over a three-year period. Current year to date, we've done electric, water, and sewer, and OPD vehicles. So our plan is to continue that process on a rotating three-year basis so that every 3 years, we physically lay our eyes on the asset of the city. Audit committee. Audit committee was established by resolution. We had a June 21st audit committee. This is the second audit committee meeting. We'll continue these on a quarterly basis. Contract management. Kind of gave you a little bit of overview of the contract management. Ms. Tiffany Kimball is the contract administrator. She will be centralizing all contracts through the Eden software. So if a department now has a contract they want to put in place, they'll input that into the Eden software, and it'll go through approval process. And once council adopts or signs the agreement, it will be put into a centralized database. So any upper management at any one time can go into that database and look at all the contracts throughout the city. She will be the liaison with the city attorney. We look at one point of contact with the city attorney's office so that he doesn't get
15
contracts
calls.
Coming from everyone. And we actually think that will actually reduce some of the cost involved because she will be able to look at that contract and she knows which elements the city attorney requires in those contracts. And so we hope that, you know, that he's looking for a venue clause that he always puts in there. We'll make sure it's in there before it gets to him, so we're not spending money to
right.
for him to tell us we need a venue clause in our contract. That's all of that. Go to the next. Interim field work for the fiscal year 2011 audit will begin on October 17th. Purvis Graham Company will come in for about a week. They'll do some documentation of some of our processes, and they'll be here for about a week. They'll probably bring about three or four individuals to do some work then. They'll go away, and then we're hoping to bring them back at the end of December, beginning of January, to do their end-of-year field work. We anticipate that'll take maybe 3 to 4 weeks. We anticipate that our 2011 CAFR will be issued by March 31st of 2012, which will again back up this process by another 3 months. And that's all I have for the committee. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
We're going to meet one other time before we get the new CAFR. Is that right?
Possibly.
If I'm figuring that out correctly.
We'll meet probably in December.
And okay.
That'll be right before we start the field work, and then we'll meet probably in March.
Okay.
And I'm hoping at that March meeting that we'll bring external auditors in to present the CAFR.
So then my question is, because this is sort of happening so quickly after we've gotten last year's, do you foresee some of the issues?
You ain't gonna tell them to slow down.
No, don't slow down. But my question is, some of the things that are brought up in the management letter, do you see some of those as coming up again next year, or do you feel like they've been pretty much addressed even with a shortened time span?
I think they've been adequately addressed in my opinion.
Okay. All right, so we'll be looking for new issues for next year.
Hopefully we won't have those.
Right.
It's just a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's kind of like Christmas morning. I don't know which toy to tear up first, you know, just got all this goodies here. The bank reconciliation is just huge, and I know Kent's been up here even longer than I have. I mean, we all know it. I mean, the gap used to be maybe in a couple of years we can figure out what right. we did in 2007 or 2004, and it's a difficult offer that. The contract review is tremendously huge. We have set up here, and when I say we, the city as a whole, contracts slip through, right. deadlines go past, all of a sudden we were supposed to do something, or in a lot of instances, I know, again, I go back 4 or 5 years ago, well, we didn't have this type of stuff to where we were owed,
right.
you know, $200,000, and we just didn't know. And we didn't know what the contract said, and we didn't know what this, or it slipped through. And so those are just, I mean, accountability is
well, and
huge.
Mr. President, and I know Councilman Roos talked about this, you know, some time ago yep. about, you know, having, you know, the contracts, making sure that they were looked at and we didn't, you know, miss them expiring, et cetera. When I got on, no, not when I got on council, when I was running for council in 97, we found a nursing home that we didn't even know we owned we sold it for $2.1 million. We had our finance staff stand here and get awards for our finance department being one of the best there was with the bank reconciliations a year and a half past due, and gave them a bonus of $20,000.
You can't make it up.
I'm not making it up. Right there.
This is where it happened.
That's quite honestly what is exciting about the confinements of this room is truth has to prevail in this room.
Yeah.
And every meeting we ever attend. So I appreciate all the hard work. It's huge. It's you know, yeah. I just the amount of work that it's going to, the amount of work that it takes to get here is obviously huge, but the amount of work that it's going to save and the amount of questions and just are we sure kind of stuff. We don't have to sit through meetings, I think, again. I remember, you know, we went through, we
it's
had.
The good old days.
Old days.
We had Bim Ray with Hunter's Ridge and Sideways.
Oh, yeah.
I know it didn't sound like much, but we sat in here one night. We must have been 3 hours having a fight match about sidewalks.
Sidewalk.
Who were supposed to go in, where it was supposed to be here, it was supposed to be there, it was supposed to be this, and didn't. And and, you know, COs, you know, we're getting issued, and people are moving in, and then they're coming up here. We're supposed to have sidewalks in front of our house. And you spend a three-hour council meeting with frustrated residents and taxpayers, and what you said this, and the developer saying this, and the city saying this, and just a lot of gray. And having to go through and just stop and research all that kind of stuff. And it just, you know, it's just accountability on everybody's part. We've got a contract. This is what everybody knows, where everybody's standing and what's everybody's responsibility. And when those times come due, just like we were talking about, you know, the auditor plan, you've got your plan out. What are the dates? When is this going to be done? And so everybody's everybody's where they're supposed to be and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that way we don't end up with having to cover tracks or trying to come out of a hole. Every time Ben Ray still gets mad at it, every time I see him, of making him put those sidewalks in. And I said, well, you said you were going to, so read before you sign next time. So,
Mr. President, we've made progress, but we're not done. We still got a long way to go. And once we get these findings, that we'll look for opportunities to make the process better.
Well, it's just kudos to a lot of people and your staff and everybody. And again, just having the passion and the vision for it and knowing that we can get there. And because ultimately, you know, the community wins and everybody wins, and it's all right out here in front of us, and we don't have to go searching for stuff and trying to figure out how we got to where we did. So hopefully it can make council meetings shorter, but you never know.
That's the goal.
Anybody else? Just appreciate anything. Matt, do we have?
Yeah, I just want to echo council's comments. I think John and Cindy have put a tremendous team together. We've come a long way since even I got here in 2008. When I got here, we had obviously a sinking ship in the electric department and had no real-time financial data and had no idea where we stood. And so I tell you, we've come a long way, and they deserve all the congratulations they can get.
It almost sounds comical to think that we can close out next month, you know, or this month, next month. It's just huge. So it's just keep going forth and doing good things, my friend. Matt?
That concludes our staff's comments for this afternoon.
Just for the record, anyone in the audience have any questions or comments? Got to get it on record. Going once. All right.
I'm going to go out and watch the Dolly Pony show on CNCC.
I got to go too.
Hey there.
You have a page.
Nice.
Daniel has a Facebook page.
Oh, you got a Facebook page?
Kill the Duck. Show
Daniel out of City Council. That's a page.
This is the first council meeting when they voted to kill a poison duck. It shows how arrogant and mean this man is.
Talking about home games and stuff. So.
Oh God. Are you serious? There's a Facebook page?
Yep. Someone set one up.
Let me see. Rachel, what's her name? Yeah. On there.
Yeah.
Who set it up?
I don't know. I can't figure
you can't
it out.
Tell.
Look here. Go back. No, but here's the other thing. Look here. You look down. Look at your friends.
Well, it used to be the city of Ocala.
Ocala.com.